You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from the inside of a decoratively carved pumpkin, this is the Flopcast, episode 389.
I'm terrified. Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
It's so spooky in here, Kevin.
Is it, though?
This is theater of the mind, Kevin.
That's right. A little Halloween talk later on, some music talk as well as we wrap up our 80s music-themed episodes. But first, Cornflake, what's going on for National Whatever Day?
No tricks here, Kevin, just a treat.
Yes. Oh,
this has been a big year for this guy who's celebrating his 60th birthday. Somebody we've mentioned on the Flopcast more than once. I'm talking about one Alfred Matthew Weird Al Yankovic, whose birthday is October 23rd.
Hey.
Singer, songwriter, parody writer.
Yeah.
Multi-instrumentalist. He plays the theremin, don't you know?
I did not know Al played the theremin.
I found that out about him today as I was trying to figure out what about Weird Al have we not mentioned on this show yet.
You found it.
He plays the theremin.
Okay. I played the theremin earlier this year.
Made me think of you as soon as I found out Weird Al. This is something you and Weird Al have in common.
We finally have something in common. We have a few things in common, Al and me, but that we can add that to the list now.
Theremin playing.
No, I am not a theremin player, but I did make a pathetic, half-hearted attempt at some theremin playing back in January at Aresia.
Right.
I got to play with a theremin for a couple of minutes.
But you actually... Like, you followed the directions, and you actually tried.
I tried.
Just messing around.
Yeah, I wasn't just messing around, because I had an official theremin lesson from a guy that can really play it. And if people don't know the theremin, the theremin's that weird electronic instrument where you just wave your hands around in front of it, and it makes weird electronic noises.
Yes.
But if you know what you're doing, you can actually play it like
make a tune.
Like a fine instrument.
Yeah.
But if you're clueless like me, it just sounds horrible. I'm guessing Al is way better at it than me.
But
I've never heard him play.
Conclude that he's good at it. Exactly. We don't have proof, so we can't necessarily say.
He's never played theremin on any of his songs that I'm aware of.
But what a year this guy is having.
Sure.
30th anniversary of UHF this year.
Right. Yep. I did a DragonCon panel celebrating the 30th anniversary of UHF. I was handed a commemorative spatula.
Yeah, that's right. And he's had the Strings Attached tour.
Touring and performing with a symphony orchestra every night. You and I both saw the tour this summer.
He knows how to live it up.
Sure.
I'm kicking myself to this day. It's been months now, Kevin, since early March, and I had an opportunity to go visit the Twine Ball in Minnesota. And I passed it up, and to this day, I'm angry at myself. I've got to make it happen.
We did see Al perform the song, though. He played the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota on the Strings Attached tour this summer. That was exciting. You could have actually seen the twine ball.
I could have.
Yeah, but you didn't.
It's something, now that I realize just how much I regret not doing that, it's something I'll never miss my chance again.
If you have a chance to go see a big ball of twine, you got to seize that opportunity.
It's true.
Now you know. I don't remember what we discussed on episode 27. I know we talked about Weird Al, but that was so long ago. Because Al uses number 27 all the time.
It's a cool number.
You know, I don't think we mentioned on the show, here's a Weird Al number 27 thing that happened to me just a few weeks ago. You know the cover of Running with Scissors album?
Yes.
Weird Al's Running with Scissors album. It's the 20th anniversary of Running with Scissors. That was in 1999. But on the cover, he's running, like he's in a race on a track. And he's wearing number 27, of course. And he's running, holding up scissors as he runs, you know? One of those goofy races that I've been doing this year, my buddy Brittany and I did a race in August, 5K, and I get there, they hand me my number 27.
Oh, that is so perfect.
I got the number, just like on Weird Al's Running with Scissors album cover.
It's like they knew you were coming.
Yes. So we took a picture. I had scissors.
You did?
Yes. There's a picture of me wearing number 27 with my scissors. I was running with... I did not actually run the 5K with scissors. That's why I still have eyeballs today. We took a picture. Then I put the scissors down. And then me and Brittany ran the race. I don't think we mentioned our official team name. We have an official team name.
Yeah.
Brittany and I, when we run, we are the Classy Chickens.
Of course you are.
Yes. Let's just make that Flopcast official now. That's my team, which you are all welcome to join. If you want to run with scissors with me, the Classy Chickens.
Well, my absolute favorite t-shirt that I own has a picture of a pair of scissors on it, and it says, run with me.
Yes.
And I wore that t-shirt to meet Weird Al with Dornell this year. Now, I had met Weird Al previously, but Dornell hadn't. So
yeah. Yeah, we've both met him a couple of times over the years.
So, happy birthday, man.
Yeah, wow. Happy birthday to Weird Al. And you're right, what a year. We've been celebrating Weird Al all year, and I had no idea his 60th was coming up.
I'm beginning to think we don't know how to stop celebrating Weird Al.
We don't know how to do anything, is what I'm beginning to think.
I can't argue there.
I certainly don't know how to run. I should really put these scissors down. Well, Cornflake, thanks for a very appropriate National Whatever Day. What else are we doing today? Oh, you know what? Let's get these songs out of the way.
Okay.
Then we'll build to our big Halloween celebration.
Let's do it.
But this is episode 389, which means this is the finale. This is the conclusion of our 10-episode look back at the 80s.
Last week made me shudder and cringe.
Last week was rough. What we've been doing every week is we look at the top 10 songs from this week in each year of the 80s. So today we're going to look at the top 10 songs from this week. Way back in 1989, 30 years ago.
Here we go.
UHF was in the theaters. I was probably out of theaters by now, actually. I think UHF had already come and gone during the summer.
It's all we needed.
But in October 89, here's your top 10 songs. This is a little better than last week.
Okay.
A little. But here we go. Number 10, this is a band that I've seen live, and a band that we have not discussed very much on the show, I think, but Exposé.
You've seen Exposé? I've seen,
not to brag, but I've seen Exposé live. Yes, and here's Exposé at number 10 with When I Looked at Him. I don't look like someone who'd go out and see Exposé.
No.
No, my friend Matt and I went and saw Exposé in like the late 80s, early 90s. It was right around this era. Yeah. Looking at me like you don't even know me anymore.
I am floored.
What can I say? We went to an Exposé concert.
Well, at least you admit it.
I always forget about this one because I think they had a bunch of hits.
They did.
You know, like Point of No Return and Come Go With Me.
Yes.
Seasons Change. They had a bunch of big ones. And this one I always forget about When I Looked at Him. Exposé, anyway, at number 10. Number 9 is someone I have not seen live. Have you? Have you been to a Young MC concert?
No, I have not.
Would you like to?
There'd be no stopping me, Kevin. Yeah, if the opportunity presented itself, I did the next best thing, though.
Uh-huh. I cannot wait to learn what the next best thing to a Young MC concert is.
The next best thing is being in the dining hall at lunch, minding your own business, and a guy gets up with a guitar and covers Bust a Move.
Wow. Which is, indeed, the number 9 song this week.
It was delightful. It was the best thing that ever happened.
Like an acoustic?
Yeah, acoustic guitar. He just got up, sang it with his acoustic guitar, and then sat back down. And
you got a lunchtime unplugged performance of Young MC's Bust a Move.
Yes. And it was actually a delight. It's probably the best thing to ever happen to that particular cafeteria.
That sounds almost as good as an Exposé concert.
Maybe.
Not quite. Number 8. This is a song I do not know, by the name at least. Maybe you know this, but Babyface.
Yes.
With It's No Crime. Do you know this?
Not that particular song.
I don't either. Okay. Well, that's a mystery to both of us at number 8.
R&B, though.
We'll have to look that up. I remember the name. Couldn't tell you a thing he ever did. Number 7, Aerosmith, Love in an Elevator.
I'm only laughing because my parents always changed the station when that song came on.
I think it's fine to laugh at this song. This is pretty ridiculous.
And people liked it.
Sure. A goofy, naughty rock song.
Yes.
Why not? That's fine. The Pump album.
Oh, man.
That was a big record. That's saying Janie's Got a Gun, all that stuff. That was a big album. What It Takes.
Good stuff.
And Love in an Elevator.
Maybe Love in an Elevator, not so much. But the other ones, yeah.
Number six, I don't know this song by the title either, but you must, because we have New Kids on the Block. Cover Girl.
Yes.
You know that one? I don't know that one. Maybe if I heard it.
So the New Kids on the Block, the Right Stuff had the oh, oh, oh. Cover Girl had oh, oh. Oh, oh, I know the New Kids on the Block songs by their O's.
Very subtle difference. And because I always forget, who's your favorite new kid?
Jordan.
Yeah, he was the shy one, right?
No.
I don't know.
John was the shy one.
That's what I was going to say, no matter which name you say.
John was the older brother of Jordan.
Okay. I didn't even know if there was a shy one. I just assumed.
John was the shy one.
Every boy band there has to be, he's the shy one. Number five, nobody's the shy one in this band, Rolling Stones with Mixed Emotions. I remember this song.
I barely remember this
song. This was, from the Steel Wheels album in 1989. Ed from Sponge Awareness, Ed and I went to see the Rolling Stones at Foxborough Stadium, summer of 89. The opening band, Living Color. That's
perfect.
That's a show. Come on.
Yes.
Yeah, we were there. Rolling Stones. Number four, Roxette, Listen to Your Heart.
Oh, I was going to say Must Have Been Love.
And they were Swedish? Where were they from?
Let's say...
I think they were Swedish. They were like the new ABBA.
They were Swedish,
I think that was the new ABBA for the late 80s.
That song is timeless.
They were good. I like that stuff.
I love her voice.
Yes, Roxette. Was her name Roxette? Or the band was Roxette? The
band was Roxette.
What was the lady's name?
You got that me.
Scandinavian blonde lady.
I don't know, but I do remember finding out that her name was not Roxette.
It was not Roxette. Okay. Was it Babyface? Yes. Yes, it was. Yeah. Number three, Tears for Fears, Sowing the Seeds of Love.
That made me happy when Tears for Fears came charging back into the charts.
Right, because they had their mid-80s burst of fame and a bunch of hits, then kind of went away for a couple years. And you're right, they came crashing back with Sowing the Seeds of Love. I prefer the earlier stuff, I think. I'm always going to go, Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
I was just happy to have them back again.
You just wanted them back one way or another. They came back to you.
Yes.
With their Seeds of Love. That was like a goofy, weird animated video, as I recall.
Isn't that like
Peter Gabriel style weird animation? Sure.
It was neat.
Tears for Fears. Number two, The Cure with Love Song. That's a good one.
That music video is weird.
Oh, I don't remember the video.
It's them performing the song as a band, but they're in a cave.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it is weird. It is not something I would have expected. Yeah. Maybe they're in a cave. Maybe they're underground.
They do seem like the kind of band that would enjoy being in a cave.
Yeah, they do.
Not my favorite Cure song.
Same.
I like the poppier stuff. You know, they had some fun poppier stuff. Even though they were supposed to be, you know, miserable alternate gothos as well.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, thinking back to the music of the era, I was into the New Kids on the Block. I wasn't going to be embracing The Cure at that point.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, what on earth is this and how come it's so popular?
Yeah. I never got way into The Cure at the time. I think I like them better in retrospect. Looking back, I was like, okay, yeah, they were pretty good.
I like them better when I got into college.
Sure. And we should say newly inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
And I was rooting for them.
There's The Cure at number two. And, here's a good way to cap off our entire look back at the 80s, I think. We're ending strong for you especially, I think. Because speaking of this year's Hall of Fame inductees, top of the list, Cornflake, we got your girl, Janet.
There we go.
Number one, Janet Jackson, Miss You Much.
Oh, wow. Yes. That was fun. That actually is a very happy ending as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, see, it all came out okay. This look back at the 80s. I sent you a link for a podcast about Janet.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you got to check that out. I'm assuming you've not had time to listen to it because I just sent that to you.
Not yet.
But I've recommended this to people a couple times now, but a podcast called The Hit Parade, which Alicia Dix from Speak Up Podcast, she told me, listen to Hit Parade, it's great, and she's right. So I listen to Hit Parade now. It's just about like the history of the pop charts, music history, and the latest episode, all about Janet Jackson, and it's excellent.
You are so great, Kevin. Here you are sending me these podcast links. What did I send you? I sent you a 5-second video of turkeys.
You did send me a turkey video, which I loved.
That's the family of turkeys that has moved into my neighborhood.
That was really good.
Quite the clan. And what? A chicken jumping up and down trying to get an apple in a tree.
That was also really good.
Okay, so yes, I maybe need to like ease up on myself a bit.
You've sent me some good stuff.
Okay.
But the thing I sent you also really good. Everybody check out Hit Parade. Fantastic podcast if you're a music nerd like we are. So that caps off our 10 weeks of looking at the charts, pop charts of the 80s. And since we always look at the number one movie as well, this is kind of ridiculous, but number one for several weeks in 1989, Look Who's Talking.
Yeah.
The Talking Baby movie, right? That was John Travolta.
Yep.
And who's the lady?
Kirstie Alley.
It was Kirstie Alley. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
I loved that movie.
That was massive.
I saw that one in the theaters.
I'm very happy to say I have never seen any of the Look Who's Talking movies.
I think there was some content that my parents were not expecting when they took me to that movie. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's right in the beginning there. Oh, there's that. But I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Man, as soon as I saw that commercials, I said, nope. Not for me. And here we are 30 years later. I've never seen it. I never will. I do know, however, that the voice of the baby was Bruce Willis.
Yes.
So you had John Travolta and Bruce Willis in a movie together, and that's why I do consider Look Who's Talking a prequel to Pulp Fiction.
Oh, that is, wow.
Absolutely.
Mind.
All right, Cornflake, that's the 80s. Let's move on to Halloween.
Okay.
This is supposed to be our Halloween show. So let's do it. And one thing we have not done in a long, long time... Not since our robot list back in the summer, I believe. Let's do top 4.5 list.
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? 1.5?
The top 4.5 list.
I asked our friend Matt yesterday, then I asked you. I was just looking for, we need some kind of a Halloween list.
Right.
And I received a bunch of suggestions, and we went with one of your ideas. You sent me a few ideas back, and the one that I seized upon was ghosts. We're talking ghosts today, which you thought we'd done already.
It's true. I thought of this as a suggestion, and then I thought, wait, did we already do this before?
You sounded pretty sure that we had done a ghost list already. So much so that you had me second-guessing it as well. And I went back into our archives, into the database, the records of the show, and poured through everything just to make sure that we hadn't done a ghost list and then forgotten all about it. But no, as far as I can tell, we have never done a ghost list. This is it.
This is it. I have to say, I had more than 4.5 options that I really wanted to include in this list. But so I had
There's a lot of ghosts out there.
Yeah, I had a hard time paring it down. Yeah.
Or I should say, there are no ghosts out there.
There you go. I was waiting for you to correct yourself.
Yeah, let's make that clear right out of the gate. We are a logic and evidence and science-based show, and we're not talking those ghosts like the silly ghost hunter people go out and think that they're finding. We're talking fun pop culture ghosts that we can all enjoy.
Or references to ghosts.
References, yeah. Any kind of ghost talk is fine. But yeah, we're not talking about those ridiculous ghosts that people think really exist, because we go by the evidence of which there is none. So get over it, ghost people. We're talking fun Halloween-style ghosts today. And you have a ghost list? I have a ghost list. Cornflake, number 4, what do you have?
I will be really surprised, Kevin, if you've heard of this before.
Ooh,
so
good.
I have a feeling I'm going to have some explaining to do. Are you familiar at all with Schaefer the Dark Lord?
Yes, somewhat.
Oh, a little bit?
Not much.
Okay.
I know this is a nerdcore comedy rap performer.
He's a nerdcore rapper.
Yes. I've heard one or two Schaefer the Dark Lord songs over the years. Not much, though.
He's also very involved in the burlesque scene.
Okay.
So he was one of the performers at MarsCon, and one of the songs he performed was off his album Sick Passenger from 2013, and it's a song called Boo, in parentheses, I'm a Ghost. And he's singing about being a ghost, and he's claiming that he's going to haunt the heck out of you. Now, that's paraphrase. That's not the word he actually uses. The song is about how you can really be a total menace as a ghost and get away with it. And for what it's worth, he actually makes it sound really fun.
Oh, yeah. I get that being a ghost could be fun, I suppose. You got to get there first, so the dying part is,
right.
is a problem.
Well, yeah, the problem is that's not a decision you can unmake right. after the fact. Right.
But then all the pressure's off at that point.
Number four is Schaefer, the Dark Lord. Boo, I'm a ghost.
That's good. All right, I want to start strong. So number four, I'm just going Space Ghost.
We have a match.
You have Space Ghost on your list.
It's number three for me.
Wow, okay.
So we can knock this one out at the same time. Boy, we are being efficient.
This would be the most efficient Halloween ever.
Maybe you can answer a question for me.
You have a question about Space Ghost?
Yes.
I shall do my best.
I have a note here. Please ask Kevin.
Yeah.
Is Space Ghost a ghost?
Oh, excellent question. All right, so Space Ghost. Hanna-Barbera, 1966. And one of the first of those action-adventure superhero-y cartoons that Hanna-Barbera was cranking out. And yeah, Space Ghost, it's sort of an outer space superhero, mm-hmm. more than a ghost.
He's not ethereal, that's for sure.
Yeah, it could turn invisible, I think, mm-hmm. when he wanted to, I believe. And he's got those buttons on his arm thing that could do different powers and things. Beautiful design. Just such a classic superhero design. And that's Alex Toth, I believe, who's a classic comic book artist, designed Space Ghost. And he's got the kids, his two little kid assistants hang out with him, Jan and Jace. And then they have a monkey named Blip, a monkey that wears a mask. You're probably most familiar with the talk show.
Right? Yes, Space Ghost Coast to Coast. Yeah. This is where Space Ghost caught my attention.
Yeah, from the 90s.
Right, it marked the birth of Cartoon Network's Adult Swim.
Because this is crazy, goofy comedy. We're going to take this old 60s cartoon character and make him the host of a talk show as a cartoon.
Interviewing guests.
Yeah, and really revolutionary for the time and kind of like astonishing when you see it. You couldn't believe what you were seeing.
Oh, it was hysterical.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess part of the fun was interviewing the guests and then going back and editing the cartoon. And Space Ghost would ask different questions than what the questions that were originally asked. And the answers seemed really like...
Oh, yeah. They could cut those shows and edit them however they wanted.
Right.
Because the poor celebrity is... talking to a cartoon.
And that's what made it wacky. And this is also where the music albums with the funny songs come along. Mm-hmm. Space Ghost, Surf and Turf, Modern Music for Swinging Superheroes, and Space Ghost Musical Barbecue.
I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, Space Ghost once asked Michael Stipe if that was really him in the corner. So that's the kind of hard-hitting journalism you were getting from Space Ghost.
I mean, you could have been watching Jay Leno, you could have been watching Letterman, I suppose, but why when there's Space Ghost?
They're afraid to ask the real tough questions over there on The Tonight Show. Most recently, for Space Ghost in the comic books, DC Comics did a comic book series called Future Quest, which used a whole bunch of the old Hanna-Barbera action-adventure cartoon characters together. So this was Space Ghost and Johnny Quest and Birdman and the Herculoids and Mitor and even a couple more, Frankenstein Jr. They pulled all those characters into one big, wonderful story together. Great, great comic series just a couple of years ago. And it was respectful of the old cartoons, but also added and fleshed out a lot of backstory to all these old characters, because you didn't really get a lot of backstory on the original Space Ghost cartoons. It's just goofy superhero in space, the end, right? Right. They didn't really explain much about the history of Space Ghost. So to get back to your question, was Space Ghost a ghost? I think, and it's been a couple of years since I read these comics, but I think the answer is yes.
Oh,
because they go into a story about how Space Ghost was part of like a galactic outer space police force, which was wiped out like in this catastrophe.
Oh.
And so there's this one guy left who I believe is a ghost of sorts, if I'm recalling correctly. So I got to reread that whole series. Future Quest. Great, great story. And I'm forgetting the details at this point, so I'm not really giving you a very good answer right now. But the answer, I think, is probably best learned from Future Quest, the comic book series.
Cool. Well, we're back to you for number three, then.
Number three. Let's see what I have. All right, number three. You know, while we're on DC Comics, I'm going to stick with DC Comics. Let's talk about the Gentleman Ghost.
Okay.
Briefly. Not a lot to say about Gentleman Ghost, so this will be quick. But one of the classic old DC supervillains, Gentleman Ghost goes back to the 40s, I believe, originally introduced in the 1940s as a villain of Hawkman and Hawk Girl. And ever since then, Gentleman Ghost has battled all of the Flash and Batman and even more Justice Society, I think. But the thing about Gentleman Ghost, and it's a ghost, and in some versions of the story, it goes back to this was a guy, a robber back in Victorian England who was murdered and now is a ghost. Let me show you a quick picture. So Gentleman Ghost is a guy in full, like, fancy Victorian garb with a cape, and he's got, like, a cane and the top hat and a monocle, like Mr. Peanut.
Yeah.
but completely invisible. Like, all you see is his glowing white clothing and the hat and the monocle. The guy is completely invisible. So it's a really cool look. Here's the Gentleman Ghost. See that?
That is cool.
Yeah. So it's just all about the look. What a cool looking villain. Just invisible dude with a top hat and a monocle.
So he could run around naked and nobody would know he was there.
Sure. So what you're looking for, a naked ghost?
I hearken back to my number four choice, Boo, I'm a Ghost, being able to do pretty much whatever you please. And Gentleman Ghost could have been not a gentleman at all and still not offended anyone.
But you get that in a lot of the Invisible Man stories. You don't get that a lot in ghost stories, ghost. But there are versions of the Invisible Man story, certainly, where that's what Invisible Man does, right? Is run around naked.
Because you can.
Yeah, even in the original, H.G. Wells, the original Invisible Man story, he's running around naked.
You might as well make the most of it.
Do it, people. Get out there. That's right. We're talking to you right now.
That's right.
How many Flopcast listeners do you suppose are
running around naked right this minute?
Celebrating Halloween.
I'm going to say all of them.
All of them. Correct. All nine of you.
Don't let me down.
All right. Gentleman Ghost. Number three, I'm sorry. Back to you. Where are we?
I should probably be more sorry than you. Well, we're on number two.
Okay.
A member of the super secret intergovernmental agency known as Bedlam, investigating cryptids, supernaturals, and otherworldlies in my favorite comic series, The Perhabitants.
Yes. Boy, a lot of comic books so far on the list.
Todd DeZago and Craig Russo.
Mm-hmm.
There's this ghost, and she's my favorite member of the team at Bedlam. That's Molly McAllister.
Yes, I know you're a Perhabinots super fan.
I am, and, you know, she's a top-ranking ghost on this list because she's my favorite character out of all the Perhabinots, and I can't be the only Molly fan, Kevin, because she is the only member of the team to have a standalone story in the series.
Mm.
Though she's often perky, she doesn't like being a ghost. But for some reason, she's still rooted to this particular plane of existence. And she's working together with a Bigfoot named Big.
Yes.
And a Chupacabra.
Yep.
Chippy.
Yep.
The head of the team, who I guess you would say she's a witch. That's Arissa. And then MG and a Mothman. And they
so it's a team of like urban legend type characters.
Dealing with other urban legend type characters who are causing trouble, or bedlam, if you will. If I ever do cosplay, I want to cosplay Molly McAllister.
Oh, that'd be cool.
She is really great.
You should definitely do that.
Molly is super cool.
Yeah, I've read some Perhabinots. You gave me a Perhabinots book.
I did, so you know who Molly is.
Yeah, yes, I've read some Perhabinots. It's good stuff.
She gets teased for being a ghost, but she gets to do some really cool stuff as a result.
Yeah.
I love Molly.
All right, good one. Back to me. Where am I? Number two?
Yeah.
Okay, just because it's such a classic, it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Those kids in their stupid ghost costumes.
Yes.
Come on. I had to put those stupid ghost costume kids, when they all go out trick-or-treating, and a whole bunch of the kids just throw on a sheet, and that's their costume, with the two big eye holes, except, of course, for Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Who has the potato version of the ghost costume. Had a little trouble with the scissors.
Right.
Just like Weird Al, he was running with scissors and ended up with way too many eye holes on his ghost costume. Lucy had the witch mask.
Right.
And then there was another kid with sort of another creepy head with a top hat kind of mask. I don't know what they were supposed to be. Mr. Hyde, maybe?
Possibly.
And then one of them was a ghost, but with a coonskin cap, like Daniel Boone.
Yes.
And then Pigpen was a ghost, but you could tell it was Pigpen.
Right. Not even a cloth could could hide that dirt.
Yeah, whether he's a ghost or a shepherd, we always know.
He's got that cloud.
And then Charlie Brown, of course, with the potato ghost with all the eyes.
And all I got was a bunch of rocks.
And I remember a few years ago, we were watching Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, as we do every year. We love it. And I was thinking, wouldn't that be a great costume group to do at a convention? What if a bunch of people got together and did the Charlie Brown trick-or-treating costumes? Then a few years ago, at Dragon Con, like across a room, I saw it.
A group of people did it.
A costume group as the Charlie Brown trick-or-treaters, and I just caught a fleeting glimpse of them, and they were gone. I never saw them again.
Oh, that must have made you so happy, though.
It did, yeah. I wish I could have gotten up close and said hello and complimented them and gotten pictures and whatnot, but they were gone. Disappeared into the night like a World War I flying ace. So, Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, trick-or-treaters, number two.
All right, so I'm on, what, number one now?
I guess. I lost count.
Okay. Number one, I'm going to go with Boo/King Boo out of Super Mario.
I don't know this.
Super Mario 3, there was this one floating character named Boo. And as you run by, he chases you unless you turn around and look back at him. So it was a brand new challenge in the video game. So you'd have to run a little bit and then turn back because he'd like creep up on you. But when you turn back, he would stop and get all shy. Yeah.
That's how I approach everybody.
You could leave the screen and move on to another screen and the ghost would still follow you.
Sure.
It was like no other villain in a video game that I had ever encountered. Like it was very high tech compared to what I was used to after playing with an Atari 2600 for all these years. More recently, I've become a huge fan of Mario Kart 8 on the Nintendo Switch.
Okay.
And one of the characters that you can pick to drive a car is King Boo.
This is like a racing game.
This is a racing game. You customize
with
the car.
Mario characters.
Yes.
Okay.
But I like to pick King Boo to race with, and it's just a bigger version of Boo, but he's
a giant ghost in a race car.
In a tiny car.
Okay.
And it's fun.
All right, so you got a Mario ghost there.
Mario ghost.
Cool.
What about you?
Where am I? Number one?
Number one.
Number one. Here's a goofy one. There's a tradition of ghosts in sitcoms. And there have been a few examples, at least. Going back to the 50s, there was a show called Topper, which I believe was even based on a movie that was even older than that.
Yeah.
And this was like a husband and wife ghost that were haunting this fancy dude named Topper.
I think you're about to hit one of my honorable mentions. Now I'm really excited.
Then there was Ghost and Mrs. Muir, which was also a movie, and then a sitcom. And this was like a woman in a lighthouse or a house by the sea, and there was like an old ghost sea captain that haunted the house. And that was a sitcom. That was around 1970, I think. Then I'm going to the early 80s, 1983, and a show called Jennifer Slept Here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which I know we've talked about
this.
I think a long time ago on the Flapcast, we talked about Jennifer Slept Here, but this was another ridiculous sitcom, and in the tradition of so many goofy sitcoms where the premise is there's some secret supernatural character in the house.
Right.
And that's like Alf and Mr. Ed, you know, even Out of This World and all those shows, the Robot Girl show.
Small Wonder.
Yeah. So many ridiculous shows like that, you know. But here's another one. Jennifer Slept Here. The wacky premise being this family moves into a house. There's a ghost in the house. The house is haunted by a beautiful young blonde woman ghost. She's an actress who died years ago, played by Ann Gillian. She's Jennifer. That's the show. Jennifer Slept Here. She's a ghost. Only the teenage boy can see the hot ghost.
Oh.
So nobody else in the family even believes that there's a ghost in the house. It was a ridiculous sitcom. And yeah, Ann Gillian, who was like a big star in the 80s, she was also on the sitcom It's a Living, which was a sitcom about waitresses. The kid, a teenage kid, was played by John Navin, and this was a kid that was in everything. Back then, the bully on Silver Spoons that Ricky Schroeder had to hire Mr. T to protect him from, the bully Ox on Silver Spoons was John Navin. He was the cousin in Vacation, the original National Lampoon's Vacation. did a million things back then. Losing It, which I rewatched recently. A goofy movie with Tom Cruise and Shelley Long and this kid, John Navin. We just watched a ridiculous TV movie starring Mr. T called The Toughest Man in the World, which also co-starred John Navin. So he worked with Mr. T at least a couple of times because they did that Silver Spoons episode together also. Facts of Life, Backdoor Pilot. They tried to spin off a show from Facts of Life about a boys' military school. Mm-hmm. That was going to star John Navin. So this kid was in everything, but perhaps his greatest achievement was Jennifer Slept Here. Also in the cast, we should say Georgia Engel played the mother, and Georgia Engel, who just died this year, she was Ted Knight, a.k.a. Ted Baxter's wife on Mary Tyler Moore.
Huh?
She had that kind of silly, cartoony voice, Georgia Engel. And Glenn Scarpelli, who was the annoying kid that they added to One Day at a Time, was also in the show. I think he was John Navin's friend, just coming off of One Day at a Time. They threw him onto Jennifer Slept Here. Only lasted half a season, I guess.
That's the thing about those shows. They don't last.
This did not last long, but a completely ridiculous hot ghost show. Jennifer Slept Here.
It was funny that they actually tried this concept again in the late 80s of having a ghost couple in the house. Do you remember the four episodes that aired on NBC of Nearly Departed?
No.
You don't? So Nearly Departed was...
Four episodes.
It only needed four episodes. I remember watching it. I remember really liking the theme song. It had Eric Idle in it. And
he was a regular on the show?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So Eric Idle plays the man who's a ghost in the house, and there's his wife. The two of them are driving home one day, and there's a rock slide, and they die in it.
Sure.
So that's one way to start a sitcom. But
rock slide.
This is based on the film Topper from 1937.
Okay, which we mentioned earlier.
Right.
Yeah, because this is another remake of Topper.
Right.
But under a new name.
But once, like, Jennifer Slept Here did not last very long.
Ooh.
So there's this couple that dies. They arrive home to discover that there's a new family living there. Mom, dad, son, and Grandpa Jack. And Grandpa Jack is the only one who can see and hear the ghosts.
Yeah.
But he coordinates efforts for the ghosts to help protect the grandson in school, because I guess the grandson's getting bullied, so the ghosts go and cause trouble for him.
Yeah, they should have just hired Mr. T. Wow, I totally missed
Nearly Departed.
Good title. That's clever. You know, speaking of theme songs, we should mention the theme to Jennifer Slept Here. Outstanding.
Yeah.
And that this was one of those, like, the song is about the wacky premise of the show. You didn't really get a lot of that, even by 83. Like, 60s, you know, Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island, and the theme song used to explain the premise of the show, Beverly Hillbillies. This is in that tradition of the lyrics are just about the show. It's completely ridiculous. And the song is performed by Joey Scarberry. That's the guy that did the theme from The Greatest American Hero.
Of course it's a good song, then.
Yeah. I don't think he wrote it.
But it's performed by
him. And it was not a number one hit song like Greatest American Hero.
So the theme song to Nearly Departed
is
in that tradition as well.
Oh, this also has lyrics explaining the wacky premise.
Yes.
Oh, I got to hear this.
You got to check it out. I'm sure it's online somewhere.
Wow. Okay.
But what got me thinking about Nearly Departed, if we're ready to move on.
Go ahead. Sure.
Is just timing wise. So my number half is from Beetlejuice, which did amazingly as a movie in 1988.
Yeah.
Nearly Departed came out in 1989, and I kind of wonder if it was trying to ride on the heels of Beetlejuice, which once again had the couple living in the house, and then they die, and a new family comes along. But, you know, Beetlejuice, who's played by Michael Keaton, may have been the ghost with the most. And I can't believe that this movie is, like, over 30 years old now.
Yep.
It blows my mind. But my favorite ghost in the movie is Barbara Maitland, played by the lovely Gina Davis.
Of course, we love Gina.
Yeah, nothing could stop Gina Davis in the late 80s and the early 90s. I mean, Thelma and Louise, A League of Their Own. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Gina riding that sandworm through the house. That's Barbara Maitland.
Yeah.
Bringing down Beetlejuice and saving the day that makes it to the tippity top of my list. I also love the part where she and Adam, played by Alec Baldwin, make it so that Winona Ryder, Lydia, can float while the music to Jump in the Line is playing to celebrate the fact that Lydia got an A on her math test. So I almost picked Beetlejuice. I mean, Michael Keaton does an amazing job, but...
Yeah, and very, very quickly as well. Beetlejuice is not in Beetlejuice for long.
It's true.
You know, he shows up, like, right at the end.
He's summoned, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, which works. I like that they did that. You just get that little concentrated dose of Michael Keaton just running around like a maniac.
But I loved Gina Davis's character in this
movie. Yeah, I like that pick to single out Gina Davis. Absolutely. I've seen Gina very recently this year because GLOW, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
That's right.
The new season of GLOW, which we just finished yesterday by coincidence. Gina Davis has a regular part on the show this season, which is very cool. I hadn't seen her in a long time.
It's good to see her making a comeback.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my number half, but I'm really curious to hear yours.
Oh, that's right. We got to finish my list.
Yeah, okay. We do.
Man, there's so many ghosts out there. I know that we've missed so many massive, huge, famous, popular ghosts, but I had to throw at the top of my list a ghost that we have definitely talked about on the Flopcast, because this is a ghost that was part of a Flopcast Halloween taste test some years ago. We got to go Booberry.
Yeah.
So many years ago on the Flopcast, we had a monster cereal taste test where you and me and the mayor sampled all five, because there were five available that year, kinds of monster cereal.
Right. People remember the big three, but there were five.
There were five. And a few years back, was it 2013, I think, they brought back the two canceled cereals of Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy, in addition, of course, to Count Chocula and Frankenberry. And the ghost cereal, Booberry.
I got so hooked on Fruit Brute.
It's one of our most popular episodes ever, I think. People loved listening to us just chomping on cereal. And Booberry, I think Frankenberry and Chocula were introduced first. And then it was a year or two later, they brought out Booberry to complete the classic trio. And Booberry, just such a great look to the character. It's a just silly looking ghost, but I like that it's a ghost with a little goofy hat. And the bow tie.
It is very cute.
And nothing else. That's all you need if you're a ghost.
So you're saying Gentleman Ghost is overdressed.
Gentleman Ghost, yeah. Way overdressed compared to Booberry. And then what really sells Booberry, of course, though, is the commercials. And like Count Chocula, they give the Dracula accent to. And Frankenberry gets the Boris Karloff type of an accent. And Booberry, though, they go Peter Lorre.
Yeah.
So you get that wonderful Peter Lorre impression. So anytime, any cartoon or show, anytime there's somebody doing Peter Lorre, I'm delighted. Now, I have to admit, I don't eat Booberry anymore or any of the monster cereals. Because I learned, like those marshmallows, those little rock-hard pretend
candies,
marshmallows that they put in cereal, have gelatin in them.
Oh, yeah. Not for you then.
Yeah, because I don't eat meat, and it turns out Booberry is made of meat. Essentially.
It's not what you would expect.
I don't know why, but they can't make those stupid little cereal marshmallows without gelatin. So
the meatiest ghost around, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, for some reason you can't make a bowl of Booberries without getting some cows and pigs involved, which is a shame.
Aww.
So I love the character, but no more Booberry on my breakfast table.
None for you.
But, you know, I've had more than my fair share of Booberry over the years, so I think I'm good.
Maybe it's for the best.
Yeah. We can have breakfast together sometime and you can pick all the marshmallows out for me.
Are you sure I'm up for the challenge?
We're going to get together and have a really disgusting Halloween breakfast.
Yeah, I'll say. Cornflake only marshmallows for you.
That'll be nice. Well, hey, there's our ghost list.
Can we have a couple of honorable mentions real quick?
I think we're going to have to because we missed some massive popular major ghosts on these weird lists of ours.
So, honorable mentions from me go to Patrick Swayze, the movie Ghost.
Yes. I never saw it.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Saw it a bunch of times.
Everybody saw that but me. That's Swayze. He's a ghost making pottery.
With Demi Moore.
While the Righteous Brothers are singing.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that's all I know.
Yep. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
That's it.
Slimer.
Yeah. We missed the Ghostbusters.
And I would say Slimer from the real Ghostbusters, which I know the Ghostbusters movie was epic, but I prefer Goofy Slimer.
You like real Ghostbusters cartoon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Goofy, silly Slimer as opposed to annoying, menacing Slimer. And
you know, I go 1970s live action Filmation Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Totally unrelated to the movie because they had a gorilla.
Let's go Ghostbusters.
Yes.
And all the ghosts from Pac-Man.
Of course, the Pac-Man ghosts. Yes. Which is your favorite of the four?
Blinky.
Blinky was the red one?
Yeah.
They were all different.
Yeah, because...
Even, not just the cartoon, even in the game.
Right.
The original Pac-Man game.
Pattern of how they move.
The ghosts behave differently. Not just their patterns. They move at different speeds and they behave in different ways.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is fascinating to me.
Oh, yeah. I played a lot of Pac-Man. What else did we miss? Well, Casper. We got to throw out Casper as well. That might be your top guy in the ghost business.
It's pretty classic.
Sure.
But there's something about Casper. So it's maybe the same factor that makes Molly a little bit sad as a ghost.
Yeah. It's like it's a dead child.
Right. And nobody wants to play with me. And like he's got these big ghosts that are like bullies picking on him. And it's like, well, this is supposed to be a fun cartoon to watch. And I just come away from it feeling really bad for Casper.
And there was a Simpsons episode where they just went into it about Casper. And they even speculated that Casper was the ghost of Richie Rich.
Wow.
Because they kind of look alike.
And they do.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Casper cartoons as a kid. Just because they were on. It's not that I loved them, but there they were. And so I would watch Casper every day.
It's just a little too heart-wrenching for me.
It was rough. And then you had Spooky, who was like the tough guy ghost friend of Casper's. And then the ghostly trio.
They had those bullies.
Those three big ghosts with the pointy heads.
Yeah.
They made a movie a few years ago, didn't they? Casper movie?
They did.
I didn't see it.
Me neither.
I assume it was dreadful.
I can't. I just can't. I'm sorry. Yeah,
never mind. I'm just going to watch Booberry commercials.
Did we miss any other big ones, you think?
I think those are the big ones. I mean, I've got a list here. We could talk Funky Phantom, another cartoon from the 70s. The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. That's a Don Knotts movie. The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. I suppose, being the Flopcast, we better mention The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Should we mention Ghost Rider?
Sure. Yeah, Ghost Rider, Marvel Comics, and a couple of Nicolas Cage movies. Mm-hmm. I didn't see those.
I hear he's really good in those movies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Better than people expected.
Perhaps. I think those are the big ones from my list. Oh, wait, no, it's not. We got to mention Zero, the dog from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes. Oh, I was thinking to put Zero on my list and then failed to do so.
Yeah, but again, ghosts, that's a big subject.
I'm so glad you mentioned Zero, though.
We could go on and on, but of course we love Zero.
It's a recent favorite of mine.
Yes, yes. Oh, also The Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come from Christmas Carol.
Mm.
Specifically Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol, which is the greatest thing that ever happened. Right. All right, a lot of good ghosts. We love them all.
I am pleased with our ghost list.
You mentioned Eric Idle in passing.
Yes.
So let's throw out a quick mention that Felicity, the mayor of Chickentown, was a guest on Earth Station 1 very recently. I think you got to go back to the October 4th episode of Earth Station 1. The subject of the show was the 50th anniversary of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Super.
So as you can imagine, that's a fun conversation.
Absolutely.
Check that out. And also, we should say, the mayor also got in the geek seat. They strapped the mayor of Chickentown into the Earth Station One geek seat. Because I've been in that geek seat, and you've been in that geek seat.
Yeah, I have.
They finally caught up with the mayor. So now all of Team Flopcast has been in the geek seat, which they strap you down, and you have to answer a series of questions about being a geek. Check that out. Cornflake.
So much fun.
I think that should wrap up our big Halloween episode.
All right. Well, you can trick-or-treat through our website. All treats.
Very few
show
trips.
Notes. Show notes from every episode we've ever had on flopcast.net. And you can go to facebook.com/flopcast or Twitter. Our handle there is @flopcast. And Instagram, _flopcast. Getting warm in this Yip Yip costume, Kevin.
Why don't you slip out of your Yip Yip costume as we wind down our Halloween festivities? We're not doing a Halloween show next week, although it'll still be in Halloween season.
Yeah.
It'll still be festive. I will say, though, it's a weird show we're doing next week. With a special guest.
Yes,
next
looking
week,
forward to this.
Special show with a special guest. That's all I'll say right now.
I can hardly wait.
All right. Well, you slip out of your Yip Yip suit. I'm going to slip into my Ann Jillian ghost costume. And get out there and see if I can score some Smarties and Lemonheads and whatnot from the neighbors.
I'll see if I can get myself a McRib.
That's the plan. Go out and trick-or-treat for a McRib. Good luck with that. See you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
The better that these Marvel films do, the higher the standards are going to be for not just other films in general, but other Marvel films also.
I think it's really hard to end a show with this many fans in a satisfying way.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Playing worldwide on radio 7 days a week and right here on the ESO Network.
And yes, Cornflake, it's the after show.
I can't remember whether we discussed this in this episode or the episode prior, so this may be harkening back to episode 388.
Wow. Okay.
You were talking about a supergroup, so that must have been episode 388.
Oh, that was last week. Yeah, we talked about the It Was 50 Years Ago Today Beatles White Album supergroup that I just saw in concert a couple of weeks ago with Christopher Cross and Mickey Dolenz and all those guys.
If you were to assemble a supergroup, who would it be and what would their project be?
That's a great question. All right. This just turned into a 45-minute long
after show.
Secret after show. Hopefully the people that don't listen to the after show, that don't know about, they'll just think, oh, I guess they ran promos for 45 minutes this week. They'll stop the podcast and they will still never know that we do this secret show just for you. Yeah, you. Every week. Can you give me a premise? Like, is this for a certain, to cover a certain artist or to pay tribute to a certain album?
Let's say to pay tribute to...
To reset for anyone that missed last week's show. There was a concert tour this year. It was called It Was 50 Years Ago Today. It was celebrating the Beatles' White Album, and it was Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees. It was Christopher Cross, Todd Rundgren, Joey Mollen from Badfinger, and Jason Scheff from Chicago. That's the show that the mayor and I went to recently. What you got?
To pay tribute to Air Supply.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We need a super group that's going to pay tribute to our favorite soft rock band, Air Supply.
Yeah.
All right, let's put together a supergroup. All right, I want some women in this band. This can't
Me
just
too.
Be all dudes, because that'll put a new fresh spin on the Air Supply sound. Although not really, because they kind of... Russell kind of...
For the longest time, yeah, I thought there was a woman.
Russell
kind of
sounds like a girl anyway. All right, let's figure this out. You know what would put a crazy new twist on the Air Supply sound is, how about some Joan Osborne?
Yeah.
Wow, she'd really add a bluesy edge to Air Supply. All right, so we want Joan in there singing.
What do you think about adding Lady Gaga to the lineup?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Wearing crazy weird costumes and things?
Absolutely.
Okay, I like that.
And I could just see her singing Making Love Out of Nothing at all.
Yeah, yeah. Let's throw in Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Okay.
Just to freak everybody out.
And... can we get Michael McDonald for
this? Of course we can get Michael McDonald for this.
He's awesome.
He's been waiting by the phone for this kind of an opportunity. Yes, we want Michael McDonald in this.
Okay.
Absolutely. I want Debbie Gibson.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Right.
All right, that's your Air Supply tribute band.
Beautiful.
This is going to be a disaster, just like every other project we've ever put together.
We're going to love it anyway.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.